Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed and glorious new year. God has glorious things in store for us in this new year. And I want to be certain to point us in the direction God wants us to go in this glorious year, 2019. We do know that this is the year of supernatural fruitfulness and birthing. God wants to do extraordinary things in our lives. This is the year that God is going to advance us and God is going to enlarge us in every sphere that He's called us to. But for all of those things to take root in your life and in my life, God has to help us by the directives of His Word. You know, whatever it is that's happened in the past, happened for a reason. The Word of God says that the Scriptures are there as an example for us. We can use that and as principled men and women of God and say, if God did it this way before, He will do a new thing in my life. And today, I want to continue on the subject that we've been addressing already. But I'm going to go a little bit further. You already know that God has on His mind for you and for me this year the grace of enlargement, the grace of advancement, the grace of elevation. God wants to elevate you and I. God wants to advance you and I. God wants to enlarge us. But with all of that comes challenges. The times when the enemy wants to challenge what God has in store for you and for me. And the way he does that is to establish circumstances that seek to contradict the will of God for our lives. But what then should we do when there are contradictions? What should we do when the enemy says, did you say you're going to come take this turf? Really? You're going to come here and take this stuff? Let me see your face. Then what do? When the one that is challenging you is a Goliath, what do? Do you run away or do you stand your ground and run towards that Goliath with your sling and with your stone of faith ready to do damage to the powers of darkness? Life is not challenge-free. Actually, if you're going to have to build any muscles, you've got to deal with the issue of resistance. That is how things happen. But this is what I have to say to you today, that no matter what the challenge, no matter what resistance, no matter what the contradictions are, God in you is greater than the devil in the world. Hallelujah. The God in you is greater than the devil in the world. The Word of God says, greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And it's the devil that's operating in the mindsets of men and women that seek to challenge the purposes of God. And so it was. Even though the text that I'm going to be using today is an interesting one and affirms what I'm going to be saying to you by the Spirit of the living God, the players were not necessarily the right players. Because one of them, his name is Jehoram, he has a wonderful name, simply means Jehovah is exalted, is a king of Israel, capitaled in Samaria. This is the northern kingdom. And they had separated themselves from the people of God at the time when the kingdom split. Ahab was one of the kings of this particular kingdom, and now he's dead. And his son, Jehoram, which means Jehovah is exalted, comes into place of power, and there was another king called Mesha. Mesha is the king of Moab. Moab is a son born to Lot through an incestuous relationship with the eldest daughter. And when Ahab died, Mesha, which that name means deliverance, Mesha decided not to pay the tributes that he normally paid to Ahab. Jehoram is king. He's just starting out. He's starting out on the 18th year of King Jehoshaphat. And the Bible tells us that Jehoram reigned for 12 years. He reigned for 12 years. He started when he was on the 18th year of King Jehoshaphat. Now he invites Jehoshaphat to come help him fight against the Moabites. And so Jehoshaphat said, sure, I'll come. You're my brother. We're from the same family. I'll come help you. So he went. And when he got there, he says to Jehoram, we have been going and we've been trying to get our armies together. And we've been traveling now for 7 days and we have no water. We have nothing. Our horses are going to die. Our cattle are going to die. And we have the Edomite king with us. And all three kings and their kingdoms are going to be wiped out here. Something is wrong. And while they complained about that, primarily Jehoram, who is not really answering his name, which means Jehovah is exalted, says, well, we have nobody to help us. And one of his servants came by and said, yeah, we do. We do have a prophet called Elijah. We do have a prophet called Elijah. If we just invite Elijah down here, he's going to speak to us about what we need to do. So they invited Elijah. And having stated all of those things, let me start reading from verse 10. And the king of Israel said, alas, that the Lord had called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. But Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord, that we may inquire of the Lord by him? And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah. And Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord is with him. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. Notice the first things happening here. The Bible says they went down to him, meaning Elisha. But prior to that statement being made, watch these statements. This is important. I don't want you to lose this. Jehoshaphat said, Is there not here a prophet of the Lord, that we may inquire of the Lord by him? And one of the kings of Israel's servants answered and said, Here is Elisha. Is Elisha right there? No, Elisha is somewhere else. But there's something that is happening here. The man is calling into the present and into their presence the prophet of God. Here is Elisha. Is there not a prophet here? So there must be a place called here. And that place called here is a present place. It's a place where you are standing. It's a place where God's voice shall be declared and decreed to you. And these statements are being made by the utterance of faith. Faith. The here is a statement of faith. His here is Elijah the son of Shaphat, which poured water in the hands of Elijah. Look at this sentence. Look at the structure. It is saying, here is Elijah, who poured water in the hands of Elijah. It's right here. And Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord is with him. Has he seen him yet? No. How does he know? By the confession of faith. If only I touch the hem of his garment, I shall be healed. That's a statement of faith. That's a word coming out of your mouth. If only I get to the church today, I am going to hear the word of God that is going to deliver me, that's going to set me free. That is what you stepped into, and that's how God meets you. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ always said, be it unto you according to your faith. Be it unto you according to your faith. You say, Pastor, what are you saying to me today? I'm saying, what are you believing God concerning? And when do you want to believe God for that? Is that what thing that you are believing God for? A here thing? A here experience, a now experience, or is it something that you and I want to push forward for another year? Maybe in the year 2020, maybe in the year 2021. No, this day, today, is the day of salvation. You declare that now, and you step into that now, and the now will take you into your future. Because your future is also a now. As we know from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verse 14 and verse 15. God wants to do something extraordinary in your life and in mine. So the language of this man are present words. So it says, so the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom. Edom happens to be the son or the descendants of Esau. If you remember Esau is the firstborn that gave away his birthright. So the king of Edom, and one thing that you notice here is that all these people are from the same family, so to speak. When you think about the Middle East, you're thinking about people that are from the same family. The family squabble that's taking place in the Middle East, and it's always been like that for millennia. Anyway, let's go further. And Elisha said unto the king of Israel, what have I to do with thee? Get thee to the prophets of thy father. And to the prophets of thy mother. Who are these? The prophets of Ahab and Jezebel. Why are you coming to look for me? Isn't it amazing that the servant of Jehoram did not pick up on any of these other guys? But knew who the right person was? Elisha. And the king of Israel said unto him, nay, for the Lord had called these three kings together, to deliver them into the hand of Moab. No, I didn't call any of the prophets of my fathers and my mothers. No, I didn't call them, because God has decided to hand us over to the Moabites. Elisha said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand. As the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand. As the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, before whom, in whose presence I am. Here. Before whom I stand. The word of the Lord is in his mouth. Everything is brought to a now experience. And I want to declare to everyone here today that God is calling us to a now experience in him. This is not the year to move things up, down, further, and push the ball further down. No, this is the year of manifestation. This is the year of glorious moves of God that will cause you and I to cherish the things that God had promised in the past, but now are made manifest in the present, because he has already addressed the issues that separated you and I from the blessings that he has already ordained to be experienced by us. A few weeks ago, the Lord to me, right here, he said to me, that when he speaks his words, they happen at the same time the word is spoken. He said it was sin that brought about delays. Sin brought about delays. And sin brought about God making promises. Sin did. He says, but I've already addressed the issue of sin. And son, I want you to now begin to believe me for an experience of the now. That when I say it, that same day, I do it. And that same day, you receive it. And that same day, you live out the fullness of what it is that I spoke into your life. You say, how do I get to that place? By faith. You believe in, me believe in, we believe in, as a people of God, will shorten the distance between now and then. You say, what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that God wants to fold time. He wants to fold time. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Let me explain it to you. If this side was now or the past, and this side was the future, this future being 2 years from now, 10 years from now, 100 years from now, when God folds time, he causes both ends to meet. That means that the present, the past, and the future become one point. God wants to do that for you and for me. That's why the word of God says, even before you pray, I answered. We have come to that time in God That before we even say something, God has already responded because he knows the past from the future. And all of it is now to him. But how do we make this connection? How do we make this connection? This becomes a great challenge. Elisha says to them, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, God has judged. The king of praise. Say, Pastor, what does that mean? This is what it means. God makes his judgment in the place of praise. Praise is what God uses to make specific judgments about you and about me. It has always been the case. When Jehoshaphat, this same Jehoshaphat, was going to fight against three kings in 2 Chronicles, he said, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe in his prophets, so shall you prosper. And he set up a choir, a singing group, and they began to sing about the mercies of God. And God went ahead of them, not an army, but worshipers. And he slew every enemy, and they took spoil of whatever it is that was there. Praise went ahead. When Paul and Silas were in prison, shackled, they began to praise God, and prison shook because of an earthquake. The chains fell off. The doors opened wide for everybody to take off. The jailer came thinking that they were all gone. He didn't expect them to remain there and was going to kill himself. And he said, no, don't do that. We're still here. He says, what must I do to be saved? He says, believe. Praise caused God to intervene and make judgment on an issue. Praise will move God's hand on your behalf. Hallelujah. This is your year to praise God. Bible tells us about David. David danced before the Lord and his clothes were falling off. He didn't care. He praised God with everything that was within him. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. The wife, Micah, was there looking at him and saying, look at this crazy guy. And the Bible says she became barren. She became unfruitful because she will not praise. But David continued to prosper in the things of God. Do you want to experience this supernatural fruitfulness that God has ordained? Then this place must be rocking with the praise of the people of God. Everybody dancing and celebrating. All of these aisles filled with people glorifying God. Every time we come together, nobody being sanctimonious and acting, you know, so dignified. No, this is not the time to get dignified dignified about what? No, we're going to celebrate God. We are going to celebrate. We're going to dance. We're going to shout. We're going to run. We're going to do everything that the world says we cannot do. And we are going to dance before the living God, because God is faithful and he shall judge on our case. And he will make sure that we are acquitted from every accusation and make sure that we are rewarded for every attack. In the name of Jesus Christ, it is time to celebrate. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. 2019 is your year to celebrate. On this, the 19th year, or maybe you might say the 9th after the 10th. 9 representing fruitfulness. Takes 9 months for a woman to give birth. Well, when a child is born, it's celebration time. Hallelujah. We're going to celebrate. I said we are going to celebrate. I said we are going to celebrate. I said we are going to celebrate. This is a time to celebrate the goodness of the living God and declare God is our God. He reigns supreme. He has set us free. He has delivered us from every snare and from every limitation. He's caused us to shout a new shout. Is a shout of triumph, is a shout of victory, because Jesus is Lord. Somebody shout glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. So it was, it says, I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah. I will not look toward thee nor see thee. That's what Elijah said. I wouldn't have looked towards you. And I wouldn't have seen you. The only reason I'm looking at you now, and the only reason I'm seeing you now, is because of Jehoshaphat. So what does he do? He says, but now, bring me a minstrel. Wow. That's what we're talking about. A minstrel is somebody who's going to be playing an instrument. Bring me a guitarist. Bring me a pianist. Bring me an organist. Somebody to play something. Play something. And as the minstrel played, he says, and it came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. God touched him. While the minstrel played, because praise causes God to move. Praise and worship moves God. As the minstrel played, the hand of God moved. That's right. The hand of God will move for you this year. I say the hand of God will move for you this year. I say the hand of God will move for me this year. Why? Because I will dance. I will celebrate. I will worship the only true God. I will praise him with all of my might and declare that God is a good God. No matter what is happening in my life, good, bad, or ugly, I will celebrate and declare the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. What about you? The hand of the Lord came upon him, and he said, thus said the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. What? Hey, man. What are you talking about now? Make what valley? This valley. This entire valley. Make it full of ditches. And what is that going to do? For thus said the Lord, ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain. Hey, we're not going to see wind, we're not going to see rain. So why do you want us to dig ditches all over this valley? None of your business. Just obey the prophetic word. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe in his prophets, so shall you prosper. It's the believing of the word of the prophet that causes people to prosper. Your blessing is in the mouth of your prophet. Ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain, yet that valley shall be filled with water, that ye may drink, both ye and your cattle and your beasts. And watch this. And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. This is an easy thing, filling this valley with water. But I want you to dig ditches. Just dig ditches all over the valley. Make holes all over the place. This is a light thing. This is a small thing in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hand. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hands. Verse 20 says, and it came to pass in the morning when the meat offering was offered. Second thing. Praise, meat offering. It came to pass in the morning when the meat offering was offered that behold, watch, that behold, watch, that behold, there came water by the way of Edom, and the country was filled with water. Wait. I thought we were talking about valley. No, God is... The digging of the ditches in the valley was just a primer. Just a primer. It's a starting point. It's like the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. Just somewhere to start. God will always do bigger and greater than you ever expected. The Bible says the country was filled with water. Not just the valley. Water came in and filled the country. Why is God saying the country? Because God had a mind to make certain that they did not have that problem ever again. This year, there are demonic forces, demonic circumstances that you have battled with in the past that you will never have a conversation with or pray about or try to address ever again. Because this year, your story, my story, our story shall change. We are going to pray new prayers. I said we are going to pray new prayers. The old prayers shall be answered and dealt with and taken care of, that you will not even consider it anymore. You have a different set of things to address based on a new level of grace that's coming upon our lives. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. I said somebody shout hallelujah. It came to pass in the morning when the meat offering was offered. So there's still, first of all, the minstrel played, the hand of God comes upon Elijah. And he prophesied. Praise and worship releases the prophetic word. But your miracle, the manifestation of your miracle is in your offering. The manifestation of your miracle is in your offering. That's why people practice vows. Their vows were a declaration that they believe that God will do what they believed him for. And God calls you and I to that place. As we worship God and as we thank God, the next move for every believer is to bring an offering to the Lord, a meaningful offering that declares their faith connection with the promise that God had made in the prophetic word. When you hear a prophetic word, your response must be, I affirm that, I sow into that prophetic word, I declare that that prophetic word must be manifested in my life. One of the reasons why I taught you from the Word of God about the offering being brought before the service started was not necessarily bringing your tithe, but rather bringing an offering as a statement, even before the service started, that today I'm going to hear a prophetic word. Today there's going to be a manifestation of a prophetic word in my life. That's the reason. That's why I still, after we've done all of that, I still say it is now time for us to bring our tithes and our offerings. That is your primer. That's part of what you do to get God to begin to move in the manifestation of what he already spoke to you about. And it came to pass in the morning, in the new day, and this is a new day for you and for me. This is a new day for Glory and Peace Church, International Worldwide. This is a new day. It's a new morning. And in this morning, we will honor God with our giving. He says, when the meat offering was offered, that behold, there came water by way of Edom. Water came by the way of Edom. Edom simply means red. Red. Water came by the means of red. Edom. By way of Edom. And it filled the entire country with water. He says, and when all the Moabites heard that the kings were come up to fight against them, they gathered all that were able to put on armor and upward and stood in the border. And they rose up early in the morning, and the sun shone upon the water. And the Moabites saw the water on the other side as red as blood. Wow. Where did it come from? It came from Edom. And they see the water, and they thought they saw blood. And they came to the conclusion that these kings have killed themselves. They said in verse 23, this is blood. That was their confession. But their confession means nothing when it is not affirmed by God. They said, this is blood. The kings are surely slain, and they have smitten one another. Now, therefore, Moab to the spoil, they said. And when they came to the camp of Israel, the Israelites rose up and smote the Moabites, so that they fled before them, but they went forward. But they went what? Forward. In other words, they advanced. And this is your year. This is our year to advance. This is our year to enlarge, to be enlarged in the goodness of God. Child God, I want to say to you today, hear me. just like the word of God said. You're not going to see wind. You're not going to see rain. But what you're going to see is a manifestation of what I said. And for that to happen, two things: praise and worship, and the offering of God's people, the meat offering. They brought it. And when they did it, God said to move. God said to move in the land of Edom. They didn't see anything, but God was on the move. And before they knew it, the entire valley is full of water. The entire country is full of water. Why are the Moabites seeing red? Well, you know, all that ditches that they were digging, they're digging ditches all over the place, and there's loose soil all over the place. When the water came in, took over all that loose soil, and the water is muddy. And with the reflection of the sun, all they could see was blood. They were making room for the manifestation of the miracle that God had for them. That is the end result. The end result meaning the total wiping out of that army, the Moabite army. It wasn't the dust or the mud that brought it about. That was just a setup. There are actions God will ask you to take that do not make any sense to you right now, but make absolute sense to God. God needs you. God needs me to dig the ditches. Dig the ditches. Make room. Make room for what God wants to do. Make room for what you are believing God for. It may not sound like the right thing to do, but it is what God is asking you and I to do. My prayer is that God will begin to speak to you. Speak to me, speak to us in our dreams, in our visions, in every prophetic statement, so that we begin to walk in obedience, not contradicting the will of God and the word of God and resisting it, but aligning ourselves with the will of God, the word of God, and making room for God to do what God wants done. If we'll do it in 2019, by the end of this year, we will not recognize ourselves. You will not recognize your family. You will not recognize this church. You will not recognize your pastors. You will not recognize anything as you see it now. Because the change of God is made available to us. When I started this morning, I said the things that happened in the scriptures were there for an example. The real story is not about these players. It's not about Mesher. It's not about Jehoram or Ahab or Jehoshaphat. The real message is that God did something extraordinary, and in a way that was not natural to the human mind. Nobody could envisage that valley was going to be filled with water and that this issue was going to be addressed, especially when the word of God to them was, you are not going to see wind, you're not going to hear the blowing of the wind, and you're not going to see rain, but this valley is going to be full of water. He didn't say, dig wells. If he said dig wells, then, oh, of course. Maybe if we dig deep enough, we might find something. No, he said dig ditches. Small holes all over this place. Wow. The God you and I serve is faithful. And he will fight for us. And he will provide for us. Let me begin. wrap up by taking us to the book of Jeremiah. Book of Jeremiah, chapter 1. I'm going to read from verse 9. Jeremiah is a prophet, ordained by God. A prophet, the word of God says, was chosen by God while he was yet in his mother's womb. But he did not have the confidence that he needed. And he started complaining about the assignment God had for him. But in verse 4 it says, the word of the Lord came unto me, that's Jeremiah saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. I remember when I was called to ministry in September 5th of 1976. God sent this word to announce me. I was just a little kid. Didn't know much at all. God had chosen. God sent men and women of God to me and told me and said, this is the word the Lord gave for us to bring to you. Like Jeremiah, I was so scared. I didn't understand why God will pick me. I was very uninterested. But he had chosen. And the word of God says in verses, then said I, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. That was exactly my response. I'm a child. I don't know nothing. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child. For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. And I thank God by his grace, that's what I've done through the years. Faithfully just said, whatever it is I hear God saying. He says, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee, to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand, touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. In other words, the words that you're going to speak are not your words. They are my words. You're just going to be parroting what I'm saying. He says, see, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Moreover, it says in verse 11, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? Now God, on one level, is dealing with his hearing because he had to hear. He's dealing with his speech because he had to touch his lips. And now God is dealing with his sight. God says, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, Thou hast well seen. You've seen correctly. Why? For I will hasten my word to perform it. And that is the word I bring to you today. God will hasten his word to perform it. In Numbers chapter 17, verse 8 in particular, the people of Israel, the elders, the leaders of Israel, were challenging Moses and Aaron and, you know, saying all kinds of things about them and challenging their position and authority, the right of for them to speak into their lives. Moses is perturbed and disturbed and mesmerized by all of this, and God says, "What are you doing, Moses? Stop that. This is what I want you to do. I want you to get from every one of the tribes a rod." The rod was the rod of that particular family. And so they brought the rod. And Moses takes that rod and takes it into the presence of God, where the Ark of the Covenant was. In Numbers 17 and verse 2, it says, "Speak unto the children of Israel, and take of every one of them a rod according to the house of their fathers, of all their princes according to the house of their fathers, 12 rods. Write thou every man's name upon his rod." And so they did. Aaron, of course, wrote his name on his rod. And his rod was to represent the tribe of Levi. I believe in verse 3, it says, "And thou shalt write Aaron's name upon the rod of Levi. For one rod shall be for the head of the house of their fathers." So he takes this bunch of rods and puts it in front of the Ark of the Covenant, which was in a very dark room. He had the outer courts where the altar, where the flesh or meat sacrifices were made. Then you move further and you meet the laver, where water was, where the people could see themselves, wash themselves. And then you come to the holy place. On the right was the table of showbread. On the left was the candlesticks. And you went further, and there was the place, the altar of incense, of prayers, and there was this thick curtain. And behind that curtain is the Ark of the Covenant. He goes to that place and drops all of those rods, 12 rods. The next day, it came to pass that on the morrow, Moses went into the tabernacle of witness, and behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded and brought forth boards and bloomed blossoms and yielded almonds. Something about these almonds. What is it? Almonds from that very moment represented God doing the extraordinary in extraordinary times. In this particular case, there's no root. It's not like the rod was planted, and even if it was, how is it that it's going to bud and blossom and yield fruit? almond fruit overnight? No, that's a miracle. That's a miracle. But wait a minute. What happened to the other 11? They remained the same. What was the difference? The difference was in the fact that the one that budded was chosen by God. My prayer, my declaration over you this year is that God will point at you and choose you. That God will point at you and choose you and pick you out for a particular divine purpose. That God will point at Glory and Peace and choose us. That God will point at me and choose me. God is a God who wants to choose you for something spectacular. And when He chooses you, there will be no delay. There will be an extraordinary movement by God as you and I praise and worship, and as we offer Him offerings of praise, offerings of our finances, offerings of whatever it is that God has placed in our lives. God says, you're not going to see wind, you're not going to see rain, but this valley is going to be full. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise with me. I declare now by the authority of the word of God that the God who has given me this word to present to you on this, the first Sunday of January 2019, that God will shower you with the extraordinary moves of grace, and that you will be surprised day in and day out, because celebration is coming to this church, celebration is coming to your house, celebration is coming to your family, it's coming to my family. We will celebrate, we will dance, we will shout, we will give glory to God, for God shall do in our day and in our time, in our now, glorious and eternal wonderful things that will cause our mouths to be open wide in awe of the glorious moves of God, because He is faithful who has promised and has declared over you and over me that He will hasten His word to perform it. May we experience the manifestation of the power that grace has declared over our lives, just like the almond. Jesus said, or God said to Jeremiah, you have sinned wrong. I will hasten my word to perform it. See your almond. See your almond. See it now in the name of Jesus. Let things begin to be fruitful in your life in ways that you cannot explain. Oh my God, in the name of Jesus, I declare that you will not be able to explain the miracles that are happening in your life in 2019. You will not be able to explain anything. Nobody will be able to explain it. Nobody will be able to say, I know how it happened. No, this is beyond the move of man. This is the move of God, supernatural fruitfulness and the days of birthing in the name of Jesus. Receive it now and be blessed in the Lord. With the goodness of God, stand in His fullness and authority and advance, enlarge, and be elevated to the glory of God. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. This time, the pastors are going to continue ministering to you. I'm excited about what God is going to do for every one of us here. Arise in your spirit and step into the destiny God has ordained for every one of us. In Jesus' name. Love you. praying for you, and I know you're praying for us too. Let's continue to hold steadfastly together as God's people.